Welcome back to Beyond the Label. I'm Ruby Sturt, and as always, I'm joined by the ever-charming Eric Marquette. Today, we're diving into something that honestly comes up in nearly every conversation about disability, workplaces, and why so many of them still aren't as inclusive as they should be.
Absolutely, Ruby. And you know, it's not just about physical barriers, is it? There's this whole web of obstacles. Discrimination, lack of accessibility, and perhaps trickiest of all, unconscious bias. Sometimes people don't even realise they're putting up barriers.
Yeah, and it's wild how those things can stack up. Like, I remember my friend Jess, she's a wheelchair user, telling me about her first job hunt. She was so excited, but every office she visited had like a step at the front door or tiny lifts that barely fit a person, let alone a chair. She'd get these awkward apologies, but nothing ever changed. It was like, sorry, but you'll have to work from home, which, you know, wasn't even an option for most roles back then.
That sort of thing really does send a message, doesn't it? Not just to Jess, but to everyone in the organisation. If the space itself isn't accessible, it says, we didn't think about you. And that impacts morale, culture, even how people see themselves fitting in.
Exactly. And it's not just physical stuff. There's the whole issue of assumptions, like people thinking someone can't do a job because of their disability, or not even considering them for a promotion. It's subtle, but it adds up. I mean, we talked about this a bit in our episode on workplace rights, but it really does shape the whole vibe of a company.
And it's not limited to one industry either. Whether it's tech, retail, or hospitality, these barriers crop up everywhere. Sometimes it's outdated recruitment processes. Sometimes it's just a lack of awareness. But the result is the same. Talented people get left out, and organisations miss out on what they could bring to the table.
Yeah, and honestly, it's exhausting for people who have to keep fighting just to get in the door, literally and figuratively. But, you know, there are some places getting it right, and that's what we're going to dig into next.
So let's talk about why inclusive workplaces aren't just the right thing to do. They're actually good for business. There's a growing pile of evidence showing that when companies embrace diversity and inclusion, they see more innovation, better decision-making, and frankly, happier employees.
Yeah, and it's not just a feel-good thing. Like, there are studies showing that teams with diverse perspectives come up with more creative solutions. I mean, if everyone in the room thinks the same way, you're just going to get the same old ideas, right?
Exactly, and I was reading about this tech company. Can't remember if it was in Manchester or maybe Leeds, but anyway, they rolled out a big DEI initiative. They started with proper accessibility audits, brought in disability advocates, and made sure their hiring panels were diverse. Within a year, employee satisfaction scores shot up, and they actually saw a drop in turnover. People felt seen and supported, and it made a real difference.
That's so good to hear. And it's not just tech either. I've seen retail brands and even some banks making big changes, like not just sticking a ramp at the back door, but actually rethinking how they do everything, from onboarding to team meetings. It's a total culture shift.
And when you get that culture shift, it's contagious. Other companies start to notice. And suddenly, inclusion becomes the standard, not the exception. It's a bit like what we talked about in our episode on inclusive classrooms. When you build for everyone, everyone benefits.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that these changes don't just help people with disabilities. They make things better for everyone, parents, carers, people with different learning styles. It's just good design, really.
Absolutely. And you know, it's not about ticking boxes. It's about creating a place where people actually want to work and where they can do their best work. That's the real win.
So let's get practical. If you're an employer or even just someone who wants to make your workplace better, what can you actually do? I mean, DEI training is a big one, but it's got to be more than just a one-off workshop, right?
Yeah, it's about embedding it into the culture. Things like accessible design, making sure your website, your office, your recruitment process, all of it is genuinely accessible. And not just for show, but so people can actually use it. And then there's collaboration. Employers working with policymakers, community groups, even employees themselves to figure out what's needed.
And I think for listeners who aren't in charge, there's still heaps you can do, like speak up if you notice something that could be more accessible, or if someone's being left out of a meeting or a project. Sometimes it's just about asking, hey, what would make this easier for you?
That's a great point. Advocacy doesn't have to be loud or confrontational. Sometimes it's just about starting a conversation or sharing resources with your team. And if you're in a position to influence policy, even better, push for those changes, because they really do ripple out.
And you know, we've seen in past episodes, like when we talked about inclusive education or sports, real change happens when people work together. It's not just one person's job, it's everyone's.
Exactly. And if you're listening and thinking, where do I even start? Just pick one thing. Maybe it's learning more about accessibility. Maybe it's talking to your HR team. Maybe it's just being a bit more aware. Every step counts.
All right, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks for joining us as we dug into what it really takes to build inclusive workplaces. We'll be back soon with more stories and strategies to help you go beyond the label. Eric, always a pleasure.
Likewise, Ruby. Thanks everyone for listening. And don't forget, change starts with you. See you next time.